Peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I actually begin the sermon, I want to bring you greetings from the National Life Center of Lutherans for Life. We are right in the middle of Iowa, near Ames, Iowa, a little town of Nevada. And when I left there about a week and a half ago, it was 16 below zero. And I have been blamed for bringing some of the weather down here to you. But things are getting better. Perhaps that's because I'm leaving this afternoon. I want to thank you as a congregation. Thank your pastor and the vicar for all that you do proclaiming life and your support of Lutherans for Life. And I'm especially grateful just to have the opportunity to be able to proclaim that word of life to you this morning. And so it's to that word that we now turn. And the Word of God that speaks to us this morning is our Old Testament reading. And I'd like to place before us once again the context for the giving of the Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. That is God's Word. So you've got this guy from Lutherans for Life in your pulpit, and the text before him is the Ten Commandments. So many of you perhaps are thinking, oh yeah, he's going to zero in on that fifth commandment, that prohibition of taking innocent human life, and probably he'll rail against those things that do that, like abortion or embryonic stem cell research or assisted suicide. Well, I suppose one could do that. Of course, as soon as you say those words, right? Abortion, stem cell research, assisted suicide, red flags go up. Because so many people see them as just political issues, hot button controversial issues. And we shouldn't be dealing with such things in the church. And what's this guy doing in our pulpit anyway? I understand those feelings can be out there sometimes. But we're not going to start with the fifth commandment today. We're going to start with the context. We're going to start with the kind of God who is giving these commandments. In our text, he says, I am the Lord your God. He's speaking to his people. He was their God. And the Bible uses some procreative language to talk about that relationship. God is the one who conceived this people. He gave birth to them. He chose them out of all the other peoples of the earth to be his special people. Now, prior to our text, we remember that they were slaves in Egypt. They were his people, but they were a rebellious lot, right? Always chasing after other gods, always grumbling and complaining, doing their own thing. And now they're slaves in the land of Egypt. And God could have left them there as consequence and punishment for their sin. But he loved them because they were his people. And so he redeems them from that slavery through his great and mighty power seen in the plagues that he brought on Egypt, and through the blood of the Passover lamb that protected his people from that last and terrible plague, the death of the firstborn. He brings them out of Egypt, and then he brings them through the waters of the Red Sea, and there he destroys their enemies, the army of Pharaoh. Now, the progression here is important for us. God did not send Moses into Egypt with the Ten Commandments and say, all right, folks, listen up. If you keep these Ten Commandments, I'll see what I can do about getting you out of here. No, he got them out of there. And he brings them to Sinai. And he says, I'm the God that brought you out. I'm the God who's redeemed you. This is how redeemed people live. And we can talk about ourselves in the same way. We too now are God's people. He can say to us, I am the Lord your God. We are God's, first of all, by virtue of His creation. The Bible says we've all been knit together in our mother's womb, shaped and formed in our mother's womb. Of course, because of the fall, we're also conceived and born in sin, the Scripture says. And we are so much like the Old Testament people of Israel, are we not? I know whenever I look at them, it's like looking in a mirror. Because we too wander away from God, doing our own thing. We too chase after other gods, the love of money, the love of pleasure, the love of self, the love of possessions. And we too can get enslaved to our sins. You know that. It happens to you. It happens to me. We recognize our sin, we confess our sin, we receive God's forgiveness of our sin, and then we go back out there, and guess what? It pops back up again. By nature, we're just enslaved to sin. And God would have every right just to leave us there. But He doesn't, because He loved what He made with His hands so much. So He sent His Son into this world, who received hands and feet, a body in a womb, just like we did, so that He could someday then pay the price for our redemption as He hung there on a cross, suffering what we deserve to suffer, buying us back, bringing us out of slavery. And then He calls us. He's created us, He redeems us, and now He calls us. And He brings us into the waters of holy baptism. And there He destroys our enemies of sin and death and Satan. And we become His special children, His special people, created, redeemed, and called. We can also look at all of human life in that way. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. But every human being, you see, is someone God knit together in their mother's womb, whether they understand that or not. And every human being is someone for whom Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross. He died once and for all. Not everyone knows that, of course, and that's our task as the church, to share this good news with people that, hey, your sins, they've been paid for. You can receive this forgiveness. And every human being is someone God wants to call into an eternal relationship with Him. He would have all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So every human being has value, you see. Not because of what they can do or not do, but because of what God has done in creating them, paying the price for redeeming them, and desiring to call them into an eternal relationship with Him. So it's as created, redeemed, and called people that we stand at the foot of Sinai, that we look at these Ten Commandments. And so let's look at a few of them from that perspective. First of all, the first commandment: you will have no other gods before me. We can fear, love, and trust in God above all things because of what He has done for us. We don't have to turn to other gods to rescue us from our problems. And I hope you understand that one of the gods we're turning to more and more in our culture is death. Think about it. College freshman, unmarried, finds herself pregnant. Where does our society tell her to go for rescue? To death, to abortion of her child. Someone's dealing with a terrible chronic disease. Where does our society tell them to go to for rescue? Death. The death of little boy or girl embryos for their stem cells. Someone's dealing with pain and suffering because of disease or the effects of aging. Where does our society tell them to go for rescue? Death. Assisted suicide. Or euthanasia. We don't have to turn to these other gods for rescue, because we've been rescued by our God. And therefore, we can trust Him. No matter what is going on in our lives, we are His people. He has redeemed us. He is not going to abandon us. And our God speaks to that young woman in a crisis pregnancy. And He says, I love you. I will forgive you. I'll be with you. I'll help you through this difficult time. And our God speaks to those who are dealing with pain and suffering in their lives due to illness or disease or aging. And He says, I love you. I am the Lord your God. I've created you and redeemed you. I've called you. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to be with you in your suffering. I'll help you get through your suffering. I'll help you endure suffering that just doesn't seem to end. I will help bring good from that suffering. That's always a tough one, right? Because we don't always see the good that God brings from tragedy or suffering or pain in our lives. We don't always feel that good. So how do we know it's true? Well, we know God works and brings good from the suffering in our lives because He worked and brought good from the greatest suffering ever, and that's the suffering of Christ on the cross. And from that has come the greatest good, forgiveness of sins and eternal life. So we can be assured that God is working in the pain and suffering of our lives, accomplishing His will. As long as God gives us life, folks, He's the one who gives that life meaning and purpose. And now, finally, we can look at the fifth commandment that deals with human life. And we can be obedient to that commandment as created, redeemed, and called people. We can do the positive side of that commandment, not just refrain from taking human life, but loving our neighbor as ourselves. Remembering that our neighbor includes that embryo in a petri dish and that baby in the womb and grandma in the nursing home bed. We can love them all. And this commandment is a good time for us to remember that we have a message for those who break it. We have a message for those who sin against life. We have a message for those, for example, who have an abortion decision in their past. Men and women who are burdened with that guilt. Our God speaks to them. And He says, I love you. And I will forgive you. And my forgiveness is big enough for any sin. And it's objective. You see, when it comes to the sin of abortion and other so-called big sins, so many men and women don't feel that forgiveness all the time. Or they can't forgive themselves. But we have a wonderful message for them. That's okay. It's okay if you don't feel forgiven. It's okay if you can't forgive yourself right now. You are forgiven because Christ has died for you. No one should leave here today feeling guilty about a past decision in their lives. You can leave it here. You can receive the payment that He made for that sin today and have that forgiveness. We can look at the sixth commandment about sexual purity. A lot of young people here today, so I'm going to take an opportunity to apologize to all you young people for the way we adults treat you when it comes to this sometimes, as if you're nothing but a bunch of raging hormones with zits. Which you are. But you are more than that. You too are created, redeemed, and called. And you can be obedient to this commandment. You can make good, God-pleasing decisions in your life. And I challenge you to do it. I challenge you, starting right now, at this very moment, to love your future spouse. You don't even know who that's going to be yet. You can start loving them, though, by saving yourself, your gift of sexuality for them in the bonds of marriage. You can do it. You can do it. Then we can look at all the commandments, see, from this perspective. Not of things we'd better do or else, but of things we're able to do because we're created and redeemed and called. We can honor God's name. We can remember His holy day. We can honor those He has placed in authority over us. We can respect our neighbor's property and rights. We can refrain from slandering our neighbor and gossiping. We can refrain from coveting what others have. because God is in us and with us as His redeemed people. So as we stand before Sinai today, as we have these commandments placed before us, we can understand they are good. They are good. And they're not there for us to earn our way into heaven or to earn God's goodness. They're there because we've already received God's goodness. We're His redeemed people. And these remind us of how God's redeemed people live. And they also remind us and give us a perspective for looking at all of human life. Because every single human being has value. Because whether they know it or not, they're created and redeemed and called. That is the perspective we should have when we look at our own lives. And that is the perspective we can have when we look at the lives of others. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.